Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, with great joy, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for you being here. Father, we thank you for your invitation for us to come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, but the throne of grace, Lord. Give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, hearts to love you more, and to love one another. So guide us now in these moments of prayer, in Jesus' name. Well, let's begin with this old hymn of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Yes, indeed. Always sweet to pray, even though intercessory prayer is work and difficult, it's so important. Well, last week we talked a little bit about revival. We talked about some of the society problems that we're having, talking about election coming up, talking about the need for the church. When I talk about church, I'm really talking about the church around the world. It's such a great creation. It's been said that the creation of the church is more spectacular than the creation of the universe. The universe is not going to last very long. It's going to be destroyed. The church is going to last forever. And think about bringing millions, hundreds of millions probably together forever. And just look at this group right here. We have nothing in common, generally speaking, at all, except one thing. And that's the love of Christ in us and his love for us, drawing us together more than all these other forces that are running around trying to separate us. So the church is amazing. And I just wonder how much we as believers value being a member of that family. There are some responsibilities of that family, but the joys and the blessings of that family are so tremendous. And the Word of God is so great, we can look back, and in the case we'll look at a scripture today, that's about 4,000 years ago. Same gospel message, same exact problem between sinful man and holy God. Never changed, never will change. As the church continues to grow, till the end of the age, which whatever that church age is, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe soon, we think. But nothing will change. The way of salvation has not changed and will never change. The way of salvation has nothing to do with any government, has nothing to do with the temperature outside. It has nothing to do with the political party. It has nothing to do with your financial status or your educational status or any other party kind of status you could have. It's a relationship between your soul and the Lord, receiving Him for what He has done. Well, today I want to look at, as an example of revival, looking back, all the way back to Genesis. I want to just quote a couple of verses here, which you may have thought about, maybe not. It regards not Abraham, but Isaac. And in Genesis 26, we read, Isaac sowed in the land, verse 12, and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great numbers of servants. So the Philistines, don't forget that term, so the Philistines envied him. Abimelech, the head of the Philistines, said to Isaac, go away from us. You are much mightier than we. Now here are the verses. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them, the wells. So what is the message there for us? How does that relate to revival? Well, I think this is a great example. Isaac was desperate. He desperately needed water for himself, for his livestock, the very source of life itself was stopped up. The water was still there, but you couldn't see it, and you couldn't get access to it. And so, what did Isaac do? Did he call for the water diviners? Did he call for the prospectors? Where's a good place to drill or whatever? No, he remembered his father Abraham. Abraham was always blessed by God in digging wells. He always found water. And so what does Isaac do? He remembers what worked in the past. He remembers what worked in the past. And so don't forget that. That's kind of point number one. And he recognizes the problem. What is the problem? Oh, it's the environment. Oh, it's the government. Oh, it's the screen in my pocket. Oh, it's pornography. Oh, it's drug use or whatever. No, the problem is the Philistines have stopped up the wells. So what's wrong with the church today? Well, we just had a better program. Come on in. If we could just grasp a hold of a new way to counter all of the new things, the new knowledge that's come out and all of this, then that would, if we could just get a translation into the language of the slang on the street, then they would listen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You start bringing in things of the world, the church disappears. We got way too much of the world in the church today. And again, I repeat, I'm talking about the worldwide church. I'm not talking about any specific, I'm not being critical of a specific body of Christ. I'm talking about the church together. But we've compromised and we've turned from the truth, which is the gospel. How many of our pastors tomorrow will really be focusing on the gospel as opposed to political things or racism or all kinds of other things going on in our society? People don't need to come here to hear about the government. They don't need to come here or a church and hear about the problems in life other than repent, unbeliever, and turn to the Lord. That's the message. It's the only message it's ever been, the only message it can ever been. And believers, pray for the lost and disciple the ones around you, showing love and kindness. So here's what Isaac did. He remembered what worked in the days of his fathers. And so he went to the wells that his father had dug. And of course, there was no water. You couldn't see any water. You couldn't drink it. But he dug again the wells of his father Abraham. And we see he found a well of running water there. We need to unstop the church. Now, if we look at the church history and look back to what worked for Abraham, let's look back at what worked in the church. If you look at all the revivals in the church history, they're almost precisely the same. Irrespective of time, the revivals back 300 years ago, the same as 200 years ago, the same as 100 years ago, the same as today, I claim, and the geography. Didn't matter whether it was in the United States or Great Britain or Africa or Korea or wherever it was, the same thing always happened. Now, what always preceded those revivals? Well, I say just go back to Acts chapter 2. That is the main model for us. That's when the church was born. So what works in the church? Go back to Acts chapter 2, and that's what we do. So what preceded Day of Pentecost? What preceded the Spirit pouring out? We know they were in the upper room praying, right? Now, they were already told that a revival was coming. We haven't been told that. But that doesn't mean we aren't to pray, right? So they prayed, and they prayed, and we need to pray. Now, our prayers will not necessarily cause revival. It doesn't work that way, I don't think. But I do think that prayers have a role, and I do think that if every revival had prayer at the beginning of it, there's something there, right? So the church is very much a history of up and down. There are times of great strength, a time of a great acceptance and fellowships blossoming, and then there are times of just nothing. Think of some of those dark ages several hundred years ago when the only real religion there was the Catholic religion, and the head of the Catholic religion was being sold to the highest bidder, and it was corrupt and all that kind of stuff. We've had periods of time where there was no church at all, almost, and then God would cause a revival, and it would be a blessing, it would be a unifier, and it would be causing new divisions, though. So we say, oh, there's division in the church. That's why it's so weak today. There'll always be division. When the revival happens, you have a division because you have those that are touched by the revival, and you have those that aren't. The ones that aren't are critical. I don't want to associate with them, and so you have a new division. But that's not the issue. The issue is, remember what Isaac had done. He goes to where he knows there is the source of living water, and that's the true church. So we want to be in prayer for these things, and we want to be in prayer against some things that we know are bad. Compromise with the world is always bad. Trying to do it man's way is always bad. We can never have man as heading up the church. It doesn't work. Christ is the head of the church, and Christ alone is head. So here we are this morning to pray. And so we'll just open it up for prayer now. And then maybe in a few minutes, half hour or so, we'll break into little groups, two or three. And then you can pray however you're kind of specifically led to pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lesson here of Isaac and how he would rely on what had worked in the past with regard to giving life and sustenance. And we seek that, Lord, spiritually this morning. But lead us in this time of prayer. Thank you for bringing each one here. And may our prayers be led by your Spirit, thereby being one prayer, really, regardless of whose lips it's coming from, in Jesus' name. So let's pray.
Oh,
Father, thank you for meeting us here again. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. Help us to remember to pray without ceasing, Lord. To be thankful, Lord. Bless each one because they came. And Lord, I know that you love each so much. And help us to respond just out of love for you, Lord. Help us to pay attention to those around us who do not appear to know you yet. And to just be able to demonstrate to them your awesomeness. And how much you would want them to be a part of your church forevermore. So bless and guide now and fill with your spirit each of us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying early in the morning at 5:30. A number of you show up every morning, the faithful ones, and the faithful ones who are not showing up but still praying, we pray for you, thanking for you. And those the ones who never pray, we pray for you too. But you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in prayer. So that's your testimony, is being here this morning. Praise God, you faithful ones. May the Lord bless you and keep you today.